Well, good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Bill. I'm one of the pastors here, and we are going to start today by playing a little game, all right? We take God's word here very seriously at Fellowship, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. We like to have fun. And before we play the game, I just want you to know, if you've been trying to move the screen up a little bit this whole time, the screen broke, and so the hotel can't fix it right now, but that's all right. It won't impact our slides drastically. You'll still be able to follow along. And if you're here if you're watching online, I encourage you to either put a hands up emoji or a thumbs down emoji for this game, all right? Online, you'll have to keep track of your points, all right? Team one right here, you're divided. And team two, you guys are divided right here, all right? Team one, you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Team two, are you ready?
Yes.
Ooh, I think there are 5 points for you guys, all right? You guys are now in first place. Well done, all right? Here's the game. It's called Was This Valuable, all right? I'm just going to show you a picture. If you think it's valuable, you'll have 3 seconds to raise your hand, and then we'll take an average of the group to see if you vote yes, it at one time was one of the most valuable items on the face of the planet, or no, it's just a trick. Okay, so here we go. The first item for team number one. Team number two, team number one, okay, here it is. Was this valuable? Here's the picture. Aluminum or aluminium, depending upon where you come from. Raise your hand. 3, 2, 1. Let's go. Well done. Let me see. Let me see your hands. Let's go. Yeah. Okay, you got it right. Well done. You're correct. The answer is yes. The answer is yes. So, 15 points for you guys. Well done. Okay. 15 points for you guys to keep the lead. All right, they took the lead. Now they're in first place. Team number two, here you go. Was this valuable? Here's the picture. Yes or no? It's gold. 3, 2, 1. Oh, brilliant. You were in such agreement. You get 15 points and you're back in the lead. Well done. All right, team number one, here's your slide. Ready? It's wheat. Ready? 3, 2, 1. That's a pretty strong yes. The answer is probably not. Yeah. That's all right. Online, how you doing? Are you right, voting yes or no? Let's see. All right. That's okay. They might get this one wrong. So there's hope, okay? All right. It's 15 to 20 now. Here we go. Next one. Salt. Is salt valuable? Yes, you're right. 15 more points for you guys. Well done. Okay. Woo. 35 to 15. All right. For 20 points. 20 points, guys, okay? This could seal the victory, all right? Let's make it 25. 25 points. You ready? Tulip bulbs. Tulip bulbs. You plant tulips in the ground. It's what tulips grow out of. Was it valuable? Ready? 3, 2, 1, vote. Oh, so sorry. Actually, in the 19th century, tulip bulbs were extremely valuable. They were traded. Who knew, right? Apparently, if your hands are up, you knew. That's right. All right, team two, you ready?
Yes.
All right, for 55 points, here you go. Water, was it at one time most valuable?
Yes.
Actually, it's always kind of been there, so it's not really been traded a whole lot. But isn't it funny? So, and you know what? The winner is Team 2. Well done. Team 2, you guys know what you win? Nothing. Because you know what? The points are worthless. They're made up points. Isn't it funny how humanity can give meaning to something that doesn't even exist? That we can get ourselves wrapped up in valuing something that's completely worthless. Today we're going to talk about what we really value. We're going to see what we really value as a community. As we've been in our series on community, we've learned that we value all sorts of different things as Jesus' community. And actually, Jesus shapes the value of our community. We talked a couple weeks ago about how Jesus valued forgiveness And we too want to forgive one another. How Jesus values relationships and laying ourselves out before others, and how he reforms our view of marriage and relationships. And today, we're going to look at how Jesus reforms our value on what is truly valuable and what's really worth and what has significant value. And if you aren't a follower of Jesus and you're just exploring what it means to be in a church, we're really glad you're here. We're delighted that you're here. Ask any questions you want to. This is a great place to ask questions. In fact, we're going to be asking some questions, and I would encourage you, ask yourselves the questions in your own value system. And how would you answer these three questions? Because we as a community of Jesus already kind of know the answer of where this message is headed, don't we? If you've been in church for a while, you know where we're going, because we as a community of Jesus value Jesus. That's right, yeah, we value Jesus, right? Have you heard that before in church? Raise your hand if you've heard that before in church. Yep, okay, enough hands are up. Guess the sermon's done, so. No, but we know the answer, don't we, in our heads. But living in this fast-paced culture, we can quickly know the answer in our heads but feel something differently in our hearts. That we know it takes so much money to live here. Amen? It takes more money this year than last year. Amen? In fact, your friends and family back home probably think that you're loaded living here, right? And they're like, wow, how many Lamborghinis do you drive? And how many helicopter rides have you been on this week? And there's this misconception. And there's nothing wrong with money and value. It's just we want to make sure that we as a community have our values right side up. Because sometimes things in our life can be turned upside down until it feels like that's the way it should be. And what God's word does is it really turns us right side up. We're going to ask three questions today to turn our upside down values right side up. And I tell you, the questions and the principles that we're going to unpack today, especially the principles, are going to feel like they don't make sense because we're so used to living with upside-down values, all right? So, three questions. You ready for the first one in Matthew 19? Here it is. How am I worthy to connect with God? How am I worthy to connect with God? Because anytime we're looking for value, we're looking for something that is valuable and worthy, it also reflects on our own worth. So how am I worthy to connect with God? Here's the kingdom principle that's going to feel backwards, okay? It's going to feel backwards. The kingdom principle is that unworthy actually equals worthy. That unworthy equals worthy. We see someone that has a huge title, they have a large bank account, they roll up in a yacht, and we think, wow, they are really worthy, they're really valuable. But really, in the kingdom, the unworthy is worthy, because we value empty-handed faith more than our own righteous achievement. Amen? That's what we value as a community. Jesus is with a bunch of his friends and followers, and they're bringing kids to Jesus, and Jesus' followers are trying to shoo them away because the kids are seen as unworthy of Jesus' time. Look what it says in Matthew 19, verse 13. Then children were brought to him that he might lay his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked the people. Don't you know Jesus only attends to VIPs and VVIPs? These kids are nobodies. But Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and went away. Did you notice Jesus' response? The disciples said, these kids aren't worthy. They're not worthy. They are unworthy, Jesus. And Jesus says, no, no, no. The very fact that they're unworthy means that they're worthy in the kingdom of heaven. They're worthy of time. Now, kids can't do anything. They can't carry much. They can't contribute much. Kids really can't do things on their own. They're highly dependent. And Jesus says, everyone in my community that is highly dependent is in my kingdom. Jesus' greatest teaching, his greatest teaching above all things was about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And look what he says. He says, for to such belong the kingdom of heaven, to such dependent ones. So as we talk about a community, we have to realize the reason that we are here, that we depend on God even to be a part of his community. Because a lot of times when we feel unworthy, we can search for all sorts of validation in all sorts of ways. You ever feel unworthy? I know I do sometimes. I question my value and my worth. And when we do that, we can search in all different avenues. You think, oh, I'm feeling really unvaluable and unworthy. I know, I'll take a picture. Hey, love and life, all right. And let me see how many people respond. How many people respond? How many likes did I get? Does that ever happen? Yeah. Or we think to ourselves that we can order something quickly with retail therapy and it's delivered to our door. And by having the newest gadget, we will feel like we are worthy. Or we can look for worth in the status in our community and think, you know what? People in my community think highly of me, and that is where my worth is. Or we can focus on morality and to say, you know, I do more good things than bad things. I've been a pretty good person. I mean, I'm not perfect, but I'm not as bad as that guy. I can name 10 people worse than me. Or it's more subtle sometimes when we're looking for our own worth. If you want to find someone that is looking for their own sense of validation and worth, you'll see someone that's always speaking poorly of other people. Because as long as they can speak poorly of other people, it means that they don't feel that bad themselves. But we look for worth in all different ways. But what if we as a community embrace this kingdom value that we are unworthy? It's only because of our faith in Jesus that we are worthy. So that kingdom value of unworthy equals worthy, we have to realize that we are unworthy to be a part of this community. We depend on God for everything. The actions that we do, the resources that we have, the relationships that God's entrusted to us, all of that, we depend on God because it's all from God. Amen? Every single breath that you breathe is a gift from God. Your heart that is beating right now is one extra moment that God has given you on this earth. Every single fill, every single dirham in your bank account is from God. Your job is from God. Your friends are from God. This community is from God. We are dependent upon Him for all things. May we be a community that has this posture of dependence on God. And we know we should depend on God. We talk about that a lot. And that's why Jesus goes on in Matthew 19 to really bring about our second question, when it has to do with actions. Because I don't know about you, but my mama always used to say, you know what? Actions speak louder than words. Do you ever have that friend that talks about working out a lot, but you never really see them losing any weight? Do you ever have that friend that always talks about how important they are, but you never really see them with anybody? It's the same is true. We can talk a big talk about our dependence on God, but the second question is, what actions display my dependence? What actions display my dependence? We know we're dependent upon God, we're unworthy, so what actions actually display my dependence? Because if we're looking for worth, if we're looking for value in things of this world, if we're looking at things in cars and electronics and experiences, if we're always looking for things or looking for our worth in what we have, and we think, well, no, I value something else, I depend on God for everything. Jesus teaches about money. You know, Jesus teaches about money more than he teaches about prayer and faith combined. Because you know how he knows how hard it is for our heads to get wrapped up upside down about this. So the first kingdom value that we saw is that unworthy equals worthy. The second one that doesn't quite make sense sometimes is that give equals gain. Do you believe it's better to give than receive? Yeah, give is better than gain. A lot of times we think, no, I can't give that away. If I give it away, I won't have it anymore. But Jesus says, addresses the heart issue so that our possessions and money doesn't take over our heart as Lord over our heart. We depend on God more than our goods. We depend on God more than our goods. There was a rich young ruler that came to Jesus. He was rich, he had money, he was young, he had his youth, and he was a ruler, he had power. If he lived here today, he'd probably be that kind of guy that rolls up in that car that you can park anywhere. You know what? You know those cars you see? You just park anywhere, and he comes out, and he has this entourage, and people are taking pictures of him, and he's famous, and this guy had everything. Here's the story in Matthew 19. And behold, a man came up to him, saying, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There's only one who is good." We know the one who is good. Jesus has already told us in Matthew 5. He said, "Therefore, you must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." So a reminder for all of us, there's no one in here that's perfect, all right? I'm not perfect, you're not perfect, you're not. If you are perfect, please talk to me after the service and tell me how you do it, okay? There's no one perfect but God, all right? That's why Romans 4 reminds us, "And to the one who does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith, his dependence, his trust is counted as righteousness." But Jesus entertains the question anyway to this man. He says, "Okay, if you want to be good, keep the commandments," he says in verse 17. He says, the rich young ruler says, "Okay, which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother." And then he also adds, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Well, the young man says to him, "All of these I kept. Well, what do I still lack? Jesus, you gave me a list." And I was like, ding, 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 ding. Yes. Not only is he a rich young ruler, he's now successful checking off the boxes Jesus gave him. Jesus gives him 5 of the 10 commandments. All right, we have them on the screen here highlighted. He gave them the ones in yellow. He gave the man the 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. The man says, "Jesus, I've done those." It's interesting that Jesus doesn't talk about the 10th commandment, which is, "You shall not covet." You shall not look for something and go, "Ooh, I want that. Oh, let me take a picture of it just a second. Oh, same day delivery? You bet. Oh, I order now. Yes." Now, Jesus doesn't address that in his heart, nor does he address the real issue in the man's heart. Number one, "You shall have no other gods before me." Because you see, the problem with this man is that all of his possessions, all of his trust, all of his life was wrapped up in what's around him. And all of his possession had crawled into his heart, and greed had sent a toxin into the deepest part of his body that was eroding his very soul. And that's why Jesus addresses him. He says to the man who asks, "What do I lack?" Jesus says, "If you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven." Give and you will have treasure in heaven. Come, follow me. And when the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful and heartbroken. Why? For he had great possessions. There's nothing wrong with possessions. There's nothing wrong with money. Money and possessions are simply tools for us to go about and do God's work. But when they climb up into our hearts and take over the spot that belongs to Jesus, the spot of ruling, the spot of trust, then that becomes the problem, which is why Jesus talks about money so much. He knows us. That's why we see the kingdom value that's set right side up is that give equals gain. That when we give, we actually do gain. It is better to give than receive. But a lot of times, we try and find our worth in other things. May we not get caught up in all of the flashy stuff all around us. May we see what is truly important. May we see that there's nothing wrong with having stuff, but when the stuff has us, that's the problem. Do you own your things, or do your things own your heart? You know, we look for all sorts of things. You might be asking for a job. There's nothing wrong with looking for a job. In fact, we want to pray that you find a job. But if you're looking for a job, a question to ask yourself is, if I get this job, is it going to bring me closer to God, or is it going to distract me further from him? It's a great question to ask. Because there's many people here that have a job. And sometimes, does your job ever distract you from your relationship with God? Sure. Sure it does. And we can find ourselves looking for opportunities to give and say, no, I can't give because I need to keep it for myself. Because what if this happens or that happens? And there's nothing wrong with savings. There's nothing wrong with retirement plans. There's nothing wrong with investing money in the future. In fact, the Bible teaches about money to be wise stewards, but not at the expense of giving. God doesn't care how much you individually give, he is more concerned for your heart. The Bible teaches. Some churches teach giving 10% of what comes in. Other churches teach giving more. And I want you to know the Bible teaches to give sacrificially, proportionally, to give regularly. It's an act of obedience. And it's not just mere generosity of when we feel nice. It's a way for us to say, God, you have my heart, you have everything, so I'm going to give obediently. And I know some churches have talked about money in really inappropriate ways. And maybe right now in the message, you're finding yourself a little uncomfortable. I'm really sorry if you've been in a church that has used the Bible to manipulate people to give. I'm sorry if you've been a part of a church where they've said, hey, everybody, we're going to take another offering and another offering, or take off all your jewelry and throw it in the bags. And I'm sorry that God's word has been abused that way, because that's not Jesus' teaching on money, that the masses would give and the few would become richer. No, I'm sorry, because at Fellowship, we want to have transparency with finances. Do you notice that we've already taken the offering before this message on resources and money? Yeah, we're not going to take a second offering. We're not going to, because this is more about your heart and God than it is about financial gain. And that was intentional. But we at Fellowship want to be really transparent when it comes to money. In fact, if the Holy Spirit prompts you to give and you're like, God, I want to be obedient, we always have envelopes in the back. And if you want to give as an act of worship, envelopes in the back and a drop safe. None of our pastors touch any money. We want to make sure that we are transparent in all things, because we've realized that over time, some people using the Bible have manipulated it. This is more about our heart issue than it is about anything else. Because we have to realize that as we give obediently, our hearts are released from greed. And we can find ourselves much more settled as a community. Would we be a community that would know not for how many people can come into a ballroom, but how generous we are as a church, how much we can give? Because everything we have belongs to God. Amen? Amen? Everything that's in your account, that's actually God's, that he's entrusted to you. And so we can search for things. Sometimes it's a little more subtle, like you're feeling down. And you're just feeling like, oh, I just need a little boost. You know, there's stuff that goes on in your brain when you go into Amazon, you scroll through, you add a couple things to the cart, and you click same day delivery now. Yes. The knock on the door, the doorbell rings, and oh, good. You know what? Contentment and joy cannot be delivered in a paper bag or a cardboard box. We're only going to find contentment. We're only going to gain when we realize that this is true, that as we give, we can gain. And as we give, we actually gain not just treasures in heaven, but we gain a renewed sense of trust and peace. If you were to go home tonight, right before you go to bed, you open up your banking app or you get online and you notice that your balance online has an extra zero, you'd be pretty happy, huh? Who wouldn't? I'd be happy. Anybody else? Yes. Would you sleep a little bit better if that zero was there? Yes. What if the zero was on the other side, though? Right? We wouldn't sleep as well, would we? May we be reminded that we depend on God for all things. And when we give, we gain. So look for opportunities to obediently give so that giving is the antidote to greed that poisons our heart. All right, so we see the first is unworthy equals worthy. The second principle we've talked about is that give equals gain. Our last principle that we're going to talk about is that leaving equals receiving. That there might be something that you're holding onto with a death grip that belongs to God. That he might even say, hey, I want you to release this. I want you to leave this. And you might think that leaving leads to lacking, but actually leaving means receiving. Because we value obedience more than security. Amen? That amen was a little small, huh? We live in one of the safest cities of the world, and many of us have left here, and this is a convenient place to live many times. But when Jesus is our King, we value obedience more than security. Amen? Look at what Jesus says. Jesus says to the disciples, truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Have you heard that before? Growing up in church? Yeah, you've heard that before. Some teachers have taught maybe it didn't mean an actual eye of a needle, or maybe it wasn't an actual camel. What did Jesus actually mean? Well, for us to get an understanding of the next couple of verses, we have to understand what a camel going through the eye of a needle means. Sometimes it's popular teaching that the eye of the needle was actually a city gate. It was called a city gate called the eye of the needle. It had a tiny little opening where a camel had to unload all of its good and then stoop down in the gate, and then the camel could come up and then they could load all the goods back on the camel and go into the city. It's a great story. It just has no historical evidence. There are very few scholars today that believe that's what it means. In fact, they traced it down in history to the beginning of this story of this fictitious gate named the Eye of the Needle. In fact, in the Bible, when all the gates of the city are listed, Eye of the Needle is not listed as one of them. So Jesus, when he talks about the Eye of the Needle, do you know what he's talking about? That's right, an Eye of the Needle, like a real Eye of a Needle. That's what he's talking about. Okay, so maybe it wasn't a real camel going through the eye of a needle. Maybe it was a rope, right? And some people say, no, maybe it was a rope that Jesus meant, not a camel. Well, the earliest manuscripts that we have, the earliest editions of all the writings, there's a word for rope and a word for camel, and some people say the two got confused. The most accurate scholars agree it's not the word for rope, it's the rope for camel. You know what a rope is? Yeah, okay. Do you know what a camel is? Yeah. Of course it's where we live, huh? I actually took this picture of a camel when I was out driving with my mom in the desert, and we were just parked, and these camels just came up to us. It was like a camel storm that was just walking past us, all these camels. And I looked, sitting in our car, and they were still taller than we were, and I thought, these things are huge. There's no way it's fitting through an eye of a needle. And that's what Jesus meant, and even the disciples knew what Jesus meant. The disciples were freaking out. The disciples said, well, Jesus, when they heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, Jesus, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Do you believe that?
Yes.
With man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. Do you believe it? A lot of times, though, when we say this, we rip this verse out of context. We say, God, I need a spouse, I need lots of money, I need a good job right now. And with man, it's impossible, but with you, it's possible. Or we say, God, you know what? I need a raise. I need a lot more money. I just don't have enough. I need more. It just seems impossible, but with man, it's impossible, but God... with you, it's possible. Come on. That's actually the opposite of what the verse is teaching. The verse is teaching what's impossible is to take someone's heart and mind, their life that has a death grip on money and resources, And they depend on themselves instead of depending on God. And they say, no, I can't give because of this, because of this, because of this. That money and possessions has a death grip on their heart. Humanly speaking, it is impossible to release that grip and to trust God without God's intervention. What's impossible for man, it's possible for God to release that death grip over resources and money to depend on him so that we can give. May we be a community that gives generously. Because, and there are people that do give, and there's people that give faithfully, there's people that give regularly, there's people that give, and even Jesus' friends had left everything. Jesus says, your job, drop your job, follow me. They said, okay, I'm going to follow you, Jesus. And many people left everything to follow Jesus. And so Peter asks, he says, Jesus, we've left everything and followed you. What then will we have? Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, if they have left all that to follow me, they will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. They will receive, if they leave it, they will receive 100-fold, it says, and will inherit eternal life. Now, let me just be really clear again. That doesn't mean if you give 100 dirhams next week, you can expect 10,000 coming your way. All right, that's not what it means. What it means is if you give up something you think is of this much value, oh, just wait until you are in the presence of the Almighty God, face to face in the kingdom where Jesus reigns and rules for all of eternity. And you've said, I'm obedient to leave this and release my death grip on this because I choose trusting in you for eternal life. Ah, life will be so much better. Let's, as a community, embrace this value that when we leave out of obedience, we do receive. We receive things of real value. Have you ever pursued something that you thought was significant value, a new phone, a new car, a new relationship, a promotion, or whatever, and just about the time you receive it, you're always thinking, okay, what's next? Okay, what's next? Okay, what's next? Or you go, man, this thing at one time was really valuable, and now it's not valuable. If you don't believe me, just look on Dubizzle, okay? Look on Dubizzle, people are trying to get rid of stuff that at one time they paid full price for, and now they're like, I don't know, 5 dirhams, 10 dirhams, whatever, just take my junk and get out of here. And the things that we value, we hold on to, really don't have that much value. So our last question that we ask today is, what am I holding on to now that I need to give to God? Is there anything that has crawled up into that spot in your heart that reigns and rules, that influences your decisions, that leverages and begs for your dependence? May we be a community that says, we depend on you, God. We are unworthy. We depend on you. We express that dependence as an act of worship, following Jesus' commands, and we give. And if you lead us somewhere, we will leave because we want to receive the things in the kingdom of heaven. In this land of bling and Botox, may we clearly see Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, worthy of all of our adoration and our focus. This week, ask yourselves these three questions. How am I worthy to connect with God in the kingdom of heaven? What actions display my dependence? And what am I holding on to now that I need to give to God? I'm going to pray for us because I don't know about you, but this word from God, it sits right where we live. This impacts everything around us. And we're all going to leave throughout this week, and we're going to be hit with advertisements, billboards that tell us we need more. May God give us a heart as a community that we say we need more Jesus. Father, we thank you for this reminder in your word. It's such a good reminder, and we confess to you, Father, there are times, God, when I thought that happiness or contentment could be delivered by a cardboard box or just a little bit more in the account, or times when we've panicked when there hasn't been anything in the account and we think the answer is stuff or money. May you continue to stir in our hearts and help us not to depend upon our goods, but upon you, God. May you release us from greed. May you give us a life that doesn't just focus on how to survive by holding on to, but may you show us what it looks like to thrive as we give it away. Give us wisdom. Give us courage. Give us obedience. In the world that we're about to enter, Father, we're going to hear everybody say, give me money, give me power, give me possessions, give me prestige, give me status, give me promotions, give me more. May our heart as a community say, give me Jesus. In fact, as we sing this song, Father, may it really be the anthem in our hearts. In the morning when I wake, give me Jesus. When I am afraid, give me Jesus. Help us to be a community that trusts you. And we pray in Jesus' name through the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Let's sing our closing song. Thank you.